In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. When I was in seminary, one of my favorite professors was Dr. Noel, James Noel. Held the chair. I don't remember who the chair was named after, but he held the chair for African American Church History Studies, and was the professor of church history. And I had him for church history too. Was everything from the Reformation through more recent events. But more than having a wonderful time sitting in his class, which as lovely as that was, it was even more fun when Dr. Noel would preach. See, in addition to being a history professor at the seminary, he was also longtime pastor of New Liberation Presbyterian Church in San Francisco, which was a culturally African-American church. African-American churches do church in a way that is far foreign to us WASPy-type white people. But anyway, he'd get preachy during class sometimes. And every once in a while, he'd throw out a, "Come on, church!" And if we didn't respond right, he'd, "Come on, church!" You can't help but crack a smile with that. It was that reminder that we are the church, and that reminder of what Jesus said to his followers. He said, "Where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am," right? We talk about what we give up for Lent, and we've been talking about things that we don't ever give up. We don't give up our voice. We don't give up the neighborhood, and today we do not give up being church. Being church, it's not something we think about, it's something we just do. Being church, doing all the things that make us good Presbyterians. Being church, which for some of us comes like second nature, but the problem when things become second nature is they become rote, and we don't think about it anymore. So we've got Paul's letter to the Romans, right? And we've got the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. And Romans is the quintessential Pauline letter, right? It's got everything. Romans hits on every topic any church member could ever want to hear about. It's three chapters later, where my favorite verse comes in, and it says, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death nor yada, yada, yada can ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In chapter 5, Paul reminds us, he reminded the Romans, and he reminds us, "Therefore," you remember this is a letter, "Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory." But not only that. We even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. He goes on to talk about, "While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people." It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God showed his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have a restored relationship with God. You have to remember that the people who Paul was writing to go along with the disciples, were new Christians. And a good number of them were converts from Judaism. The former Jews had a very deep-seated, broad understanding of all of those stories we read in the Old Testament. They understood that we were not in right relationship with our Creator. Thank you very much, Adam, Eve, and the apple. They understood and they knew full well that we were not in the cohesive, right relationship with our Creator. They grew up on it. As my grandparents would say, they cut their teeth on it. They understood, they knew. They had generations that have been taught to them that they were still fallen people. And Paul reminds them that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that right relationship was restored. He reminded the people, and he reminds us today, and God's speaking through scriptures today as he did then, that we were not deserving of the sacrifice of God's only Son. We were not deserving of the sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ. When he says, it isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. You talk about martyrs. People die for good causes, we hope, in theory. Someone who is righteous is one who thinks they're right. Is one who thinks it's okay. Is one who hasn't fallen down on their sword yet and said, nope, I am a sinner in need of God's grace. So we fast forward a few thousand years and we get to today. And being church members, doing churchy things, remembering that I am the body of Christ, you are the body of Christ, together we are one in the Spirit, for he is in us and we are in him, comes second nature until things get tough. Until things get uncomfortable. Until things get just a little too needy of my time. I think about people who walk away from the church because they get upset. I think about people who quit coming to worship services because this, that, or the other has happened and they have changed their mind about things, or it's just too painful to be in a place, or whatever the case may be. And I'm reminded when Paul says, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I think about Paul, who sat in prison more times than not for proclaiming Christ as Lord. I think about Paul, who, sitting in prison, continued to write to these fledgling churches and encourage them to continue to advance the gospel, to continue to worship the God who created them and is known to us through the death and resurrection of his Son. We say don't give up being church. We don't give up when the going gets tough. I think of so many churches, not necessarily ours, but so many churches in our denomination and in the others that struggle. That the going has gotten tough, and instead of buckling down and growing through those troubles, they throw up their hands and say, well, I'm done. It's not worth saving. It's not worth fixing. It's not worth doing anymore. There's 10 other churches in this town. They can do it just fine without us. Nobody will miss us if we're gone. If we're not worth it, then what was it all for? If we're not worth the trouble of muddling through the rough times, if we're not worth the effort of the call of the church, then what was Holy Week for? What was the death of Christ for? What was the resurrection for? Don't give up being church. And when you find your neighbors who are feeling run down and feeling just over it and feeling like everything's heaped on top of them, remind them not to give up. Because the good news that we live in, 2,000 years removed from those events, is that we know the story doesn't end on Friday. The story of Jesus of Nazareth does not end on Friday with him being nailed to the cross. The troubles and tribulations didn't just on that first Good Friday. Hope was reborn. When the stone was rolled away and the cloths were folded neatly on the table, and Mary weeping, you get it. Christ died and rose for us. We're worth it. You're worth it. Consequently, he's worth it. He's worth us not giving up. He's worth us reaching out to those who have felt like giving up and have maybe even crossed the line of giving up. He's worthy of us doing our job to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. To further the good news proclaimed to us, that we are claimed and loved by that one who created us. We cannot give up being church, because if we give up being church, what was it for? Who's going to tell the stories if we give up being church? Who's going to pass on the faith of our fathers and mothers if we give up being church? This church, not just this building and this congregation, but this church, universal, is not the same without any one of us, and is lacking because we are missing the voices of those who have been silenced. It is lacking because we are missing the voices of those who have given up on it. Why? because they've lost the hope, because when they went through the troubles, they forgot that that builds endurance, and endurance builds character, and character builds hope. We've got to find the people who are in that muddle and remind them that it doesn't end in the darkness. Light overcomes darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. Capital L. It's our job to be the bearers, and it's our job to continue being bearers even when the going gets tough. That old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. No. When the going gets tough, the tough keep going. Do not give up being church. Do not give up responding to the call, "Hey, church." It's easy to do. It's easy to give up because it gets messy. I got enough mess. We don't need any more mess. We'd be done with the messes. But we can't. We have to keep going. And we have to keep telling the stories. And we have to keep sharing the good news that we know. And yes, we have to walk through the times like the Good Fridays in our lives. And yeah, they hurt. But we have to remember with hope that Easter comes. That it may be Friday. It may be Thursday. But Sunday's coming. And the good news that was proclaimed all those years ago when the women ran back saying, "He's risen, he's risen, he's risen," is still true today. He died for us. He took all of that pain for us. I think we can give back to him in gratitude for his gift. Amen.